Hello, everyone, and welcome to Inside the Studio on iHeartRadio. My name is Jordan Runtog, but enough about me. My guest this week has the number one song in the country at this very moment with Mood, which has topped the charts for its eighth week now. His inventive blend of hip-hop, pop-punk, and alternative rock have not only set the streaming services ablaze, but have also made him a smash hit on TikTok, where songs like Valentino have gone viral. A Bay Area native, he went to USC for business until music came calling. Now, when you're number one, where else can you go? Turns out, lots of places. He's eager to spread into film, fashion, and recently appeared on the podcast Halloween in Hell. And that's when he's not busy working on his first LP, El Dorado. I'm so happy to welcome 24 Karat Golden. Golden, thank you so much for taking the time. First of all, how are you today? You always got to do the quarantine check-in. Feeling good? Feeling grounded?
Yeah, not the worst day in the world, you know? It's a Monday, but it's sunny, like you said.
Oh, man, well, that's what we like to hear. Well, I should hope you're feeling good, because at the very moment, your song Mood is the number one song in the country. How does that feel for you?
Man, it feels good. I'm glad that people like my music and they want to, and that they care about what I have to share with the world.
When did you first learn that it was in the top spot?
I think about maybe like 6 or 7 weeks ago. And it was just been like kind of mind blowing to me that it's been there still to this day. Like, there's been a lot of really, really good music that's come out this year. And this song is like really performed beyond all of that, which is just awesome to me.
Tell me about writing the song. I understand Call of Duty was involved. Do I have that right?
Yeah. Big inspiration. Call of Duty was a big inspiration.
Hell yeah.
We're basically just all chilling at Ian's house and playing Call of Duty, playing video games. And Omar starts playing one of Ian's guitars. And I just hear this like guitar riff that's just so enticing, so intriguing, and without even realizing it, I start singing the chorus to Mood. Like, I just started making it up on the fly, and Omar hears me singing, and he's like, yo, come, like, lay that down, that shit was hot. So I go and I record my part, and then boom, it was a whole Mood.
Did you have a feeling that the song was gonna go all the way?
If anybody ever says that they make a song while playing Call of Duty randomly and they predict that it's going to go to number one, don't trust that person. They are a liar. There's no way I could have known that this was going to happen.
It's going to be like a really weird year to have a number one. I mean, not being able to tour, not being able to like just see people and see what it looks like to have a number one record. How has that been for you?
Yeah, I only like know half the battle of having a number one. Like, I've done all the promos and the videos and and you know, a little bit of the performing with the live performance stuff, but I felt like a lot of the stuff that I was looking forward to that came with the number one, that's going to be a little bit delayed. But it's a blessing and a curse, because I think I probably would have been overwhelmed if I had to do a tour while all this other stuff was going on at the same time.
Oh man, I can only imagine. I mean, has it been a relief in some ways, just being able to stay home and chill? Because you were on the road with Landon Cube and playing Rolling Loud and doing all sorts of stuff. Has it been kind of a relief just to stay settled for a bit?
Every day is a little bit different. Some days it's like, oh my God, I'm so glad like I didn't have to. I'm so glad I just get to go home and chill and watch Survivor for 3 hours. And some days it's like, what is the purpose of my life? Like, I can't be on the road. Like, what am I doing? Like, I feel incomplete. So, you know, it just depends what day it is.
Well, you're hard at work right now on your debut LP, El Dorado. How's it going?
Man, this has been some of the best music I ever created in my entire life. I'm just thankful that I got good friends and people that care about me to hold me down during this quarantine and give me the tools to make the best music possible.
Your EP dropped out of college with such a diverse blend of hip hop and pop and alternative and rock. How has your sound evolved for this LP? How would you describe it?
So I think with the EP Dropped Out of College, it was me kind of like poking around at a lot of different things, kind of just like it was a Costco sample run of EPs, if you may, you know, trying to just figure out like, yo, can I do this pop? Okay, I could do pop. Can I do trap? Okay, I could do trap. Can I do rock? Okay, I could do rock. Can I do emo rap? Okay, I could do that. and just kind of testing out what I was really capable of. And with this debut album, El Dorado, I feel like I have a better understanding of my capabilities. And now I'm like, how can I push myself to the furthest limits of all these different sounds and mix them together to create something that is truly unique and truly golden?
What is your process like? Do you write melodies first, or do you work with beats first, or how do you do it?
I'm more often than not a melody first type of guy. I feel like melodies drive the whole songs. That's where the feeling comes from. You know, the way you say something, just as much as what you're actually saying. So a lot of times I'll be inspired outside of the studio. Like I'll just be walking or driving by myself, or like take a bite of some really good food and boom, like a melody just pops in my head. Like it's like a lottery, you know, like have a certain set of stimulations and environment and people around and things going on, and every once in a while it'll just pop out a fire melody. So I'll just take that and kind of like as raw inspiration, and then when I go in the studio I refine that raw inspiration into something that's more cohesive and has a message and has a story to go with it.
I mean, your hooks are your hallmarks, these massive hooks. What is a good hook for you? Is there like, do you just know it when you hear it, or is there like something you specifically look for?
I try not to think too much, because I feel like thinking is the opposite of like being in creating, you know. Like it's so easy to get caught in your own head as an artist. So really it's just I go off feeling. Like, is this catchy? Is this something that I don't mind listening to 100 times over and over again? Because if I don't mind listening to it 100 times, everybody else probably will not mind listening to it 100 times either. So just something that I want to keep saying over and over again, or that I don't mind listening to over and over again.
It's a good strategy. I think I read that the Beatles, whenever they were working on songs together, they didn't like to put it down on cassette tapes, because they thought, well, if we can't remember it tomorrow, how can we expect other people? So that was like their built-in quality control.
Yeah, just if you can't remember it, like sometimes I'll remember a song lyric or a melody from like a year and a half ago, and that would be a sign like, damn, maybe I should go back and work on that, because if I can remember that all the way till now, it might be in something special.
Yeah, other people will too. Have you been feeling productive in quarantine musically? Like, I know a lot of people are either like, you know, really getting to it every day and doing their thing, and other people are just like, all right, I got out of bed today. We're good. This is the highlight of my day. You feeling productive and good?
Yeah, I feel like I've gotten to the point where it's like I've worked so far ahead in the future, I don't even know what to work on anymore, because I don't know where I'm going to be at that point. Like, yo, we have so many great songs for the album, so many incredible songs that had to be cut from the album. Like, I have no idea what the second album is going to sound like. So now I'm just trying to connect in with the fans, stay inspired, and just, you know, maintain happiness and satisfaction and peace of mind.
Your new song Coco's got DaBaby on it. You've worked with Fetty Wap on Dropped Out of College. Who else would you like to collaborate with?
Like my dream collaboration is Drake for sure, but you know that'll happen when the time comes. I'd say like out of my friends and my peers, I want to work with Lil Nas X and Kid Laroi the most. Those are just two good friends of mine who I really admire their music making ability. So I think a collab from us would be just extraordinary.
Talked a lot about Billie Eilish too. Any updates on her?
So I guess in a previous interview I said I wanted to take her out for sushi, and I was very bluntly informed by her fans that she's actually a vegan and she hates sushi. She like has a strong dislike for sushi. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I tried my best, so maybe we might have to pull a little vegan play of some sorts.
I got to ask, I mean, at what point did you know you wanted to make music? Was there like a lightning bolt moment for you? I'm always fascinated with people who are able to write like that. Did you know from early on that you were able to write?
I've always been good with my words, and I've always had a special connection with music. But I think to be an artist, it takes a lot of confidence, you know, to put yourself out there in a permanent form. Like this ain't no Snapchat songs. Like this shit doesn't go away in 24 hours. This is me. This is what I have to say. This is how I have to say it. And I'm putting it in a way that I hope stands the test of time. And I didn't get that confidence until I was in high school. And when I made my first song, it just felt so natural and so right and so purposeful that I was like, yo, if I stop doing this, I think I'm going to die. Like, I can't not make music. Like, this just feels too good and too right. So it was somewhere, it was really after the first song, I was just hooked and I was addicted to making music.
What would you say to 14, 15 year olds out there right now who love music and are struggling to find their voice?
Man, keep going. Don't get discouraged. Nobody's first record is a number one smash. I had plenty of awful, trash, ass, I don't even want you to hear it sounding songs before mood was even a thought in my mind. So don't be too hard on yourself. Make sure you're still having fun, because at the end of the day, you know, happiness and enjoyment, that's what life is about. And if you're not having fun, why torture yourself?
Well said. You're born and raised in the Bay Area. How has that influenced you as an artist?
I think being from the Bay gives you a sense of innovation that a lot of places don't have built in. Like, we worship technology in the Bay Area. Like, it is a Silicon Valley, very tech-driven place. It's tech and culture, really. And that's where the two meet in Bay Area, in San Francisco. So just being able to see both sides, like, yo, this is where some of the greatest art comes from, some of the greatest food comes from, some of the most creative minds in the world, yet you pair it with the innovation of Silicon Valley. How can we do things better than we did it before? How can we challenge the preconceived notions and the habits that we've fallen into as people, you know? And when you combine that challenging mindset with creativity, you just get, how can I be the most creative I can be? How can I spread my light to the world in the greatest way possible? And I feel like that's just something that's sits deep within me.
Speaking of innovation, it's been so interesting to watch TikTok become a bigger platform for launching music. I mean, especially your songs like Valentino and Mood. What do you think about its growing role in launching artists?
I think TikTok is popping because it just communicates most directly to, like, what people want. You know, like, a lot of social media platforms, they'll leave you feeling like you're less than, where I feel like TikTok can leave you feeling like you're better off than you were before. Like, whatever it is you're looking for, the algorithm knows, and it helps you find that. And I think, you know, like, that's the best way to spread music, because that's where it has the most attention. And all I did was figure out, like, yo, how can I share myself and share my music in the most authentic way on this app? And people respond really, really well to authenticity on there. And I'm just fucking around and having fun making dumb videos like I did when I was in middle school on Vine. And I think, like, that genuine enthusiasm carries through in the music and the content. So it's just like the perfect connection. And it's good music. People can't help but want to listen to it.
I mean, Mood's been used a ludicrous number of times in TikTok clips. Have there been any ones you've seen that are your favorite?
I can't even keep track of it anymore. Like, I feel like every TikToker and their mama has literally, and their mama, like Addison Rae's mom, probably used that shit too. But every TikToker has been on there. I'm just glad that you know, like, my music, because TikTok is a lot younger than, you know, Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. Like, my music is speaking to the people, to the next generation. Like, my music, I inspire to uplift and inspire. And the fact that it's resonating with those people that are growing up and, like, have the most pure open-mindedness, like, that's a sign to me, like, yo, I'm on the right track. This music is doing what it's supposed to do.
And you're right. I mean, I'm at the age now where TikTok intimidates me. Do you have any tips for, like, if I want to make my first TikTok?
I think you just got to go on the app and just scroll a little bit, like what you like, skip past what you don't, and just understand the culture better. Because what makes TikTok different from any other social media platform is that there's a genuine sense of community on there, like, yeah, inside jokes and, you know, like, just little things that exist within that community that don't exist other places. So dig into it. Don't be scared. Don't be shy. Put some more, as they would say.
I mean, speaking of new media, among the many, many, many things that you're involved with right now, you are part of the Halloween in Hell podcast series, starring you, Machine Gun Kelly, Tommy Lee, all sorts of great people. How did that come about?
You know, it's just a natural extension of storytelling, I feel like, podcasts, and having to be able to combine, like, more literal storytelling with musical storytelling. Like, for the first time, that was a really dope experience to me. And I got to do it with my friends, and I got to do it with Jingle Jared, who's like a goat, a god in this podcast game. you know, so it was something new for me that was building upon shit that I already liked to do. And I got to make good music in the process of it. Like me and MGK, that was our first collab, and I'm really proud of that.
Yeah, what was it like working with him?
I mean, he's a legend in his own right. He's one of the, like, he's had longevity that is very rare in this game. And he's been able to transform from a rapper to a rock star and just do him whatever that is at the given moment. So it was dope to watch him and learn from him and have him tell us stories about his highest highs and lowest lows, and just knowing that, like, yo, it's gonna be okay. Like, shit gets fucked up in this industry. Like, this is not by any means a smooth ride, but it's a ride worth riding, I guess, to say the least.
Earlier in your career, you did a lot of commercial acting, and you've said that you want to expand into film roles. What kind of roles would you want to look at?
Yeah, when I was a kid, it was more like, you know, like student number three at the Lunchables commercial. but now, you know, I got my sights set on bigger and better things. I definitely want to do TV acting and film acting. We're working on like my own scripted show right now for a TV series based on my life and how, like, I dropped out of college and moved in to this crazy house in Beverly Hills with my friend and his family who became, like, his mom is my agent now. But I was just like a rapper moving in with this, like, very nice Hollywood Jewish family, like the contrast of that, and like, yeah, real Fresh Prince of Beverly Hills type shit. So that's something I'm working on.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, what was it like moving from the Bay Area to Los Angeles, the whole, you know, Northern California, Southern California thing? Was it a real different vibe?
Yeah, everybody thinks Cali's all the same, but no, California is very different. There's a lot of different bubbles. Like in the Bay, first of all, it's cold as fuck and it's foggy every day. In LA, it's hot as fuck and it's smoggy every day. So it's like, you know, it's kind of the same, but it's different. People are all like pretty nice, but I feel like in the Bay, like their niceness is more authentic. And in LA, someone could be like smiling your face and then stab you in the back without you even expecting it. So just getting used to the differences in people and environment out here from up there.
I hope you haven't experienced that yet.
Hey, it's part of the game, man. I'm just taking these L's as life lessons, and I still got a smile on my face, you know? That's all that matters at the end of the day.
I have to say, you are a style icon for any of you listening right now who don't know, style icon in the making. Do you feel like your style's changed at all since you moved down from San Francisco?
Yeah, but probably less with me moving and me getting more money to buy the clothes I actually want.
Yes, that's a very good point.
But yeah, I'll definitely take that title of style icon. Like, there's been so many things that, like, I would wear, or like wearing my clothes a certain way, and motherfuckers will roast, or they'll be like, man, I don't get it. Why is he got the bell bottom pants on? And then boom, a year flashes forward and now everybody's wearing bell bottom pants. And I'm just sitting there with my arms crossed like, man, I told y'all this was going to happen.
What is your favorite piece, either jewelry or sneakers? I know you're a big sneakerhead. What is your absolute, like, prize in your possession?
Oof, that's such a hard question, because every piece got its own skin in the game. You know, every piece got its own story. But I would say, just as far as like sentimental value, probably just like my pair of John Elliott Air Force Ones. Like, it's such a plain shoe, right? But it's something that you can wear with everything. It's something that, like, I've had some of my greatest memories in, you know, and some of my most comfortable shoes. So just something that's stable. You know, it's not the craziest piece in the collection, but it's the one that we go way back, and I know these shoes are going to hold me down forever.
What is your craziest piece in the collection?
It could be the custom Saint Laurent bell bottoms I wore in the AMAs that they had to cut two pairs of sequin $2,000 Saint Laurent pants to make, or it could be the Kanye West Louis Vuitton Jaspers that I've been eyeing since I was like 14 years old, or is it the custom 24 karat necklace that I designed myself and watched the whole process go to represent El Dorado? I don't know. It's up to the people at this point. I got too many crazy pieces.
What is your go-to quarantine outfit? I feel like everyone now has kind of changed their style because, you know, can't go out as much.
True. It's like, yo, y'all could see me in sweatpants. Like, you can't see the bottom half in these Zoom calls. Right. I could have been wearing the same sweatpants like the last 4 days. You wouldn't even know. But, yeah, I just try and keep it casual, keep it cozy. Like, not too cozy where I just lose all sense of my swag, but cozy enough that I don't have to, like, you know, get dressed for an hour and make sure everything is perfectly aligned in the mirror.
Unless you feel like it.
Unless I feel like. Sometimes it's nice to get dressed up. It makes me feel like back in the days, you know, simpler times.
Yeah, yeah. What have you been doing to keep yourself, you know, grounded and in a good mood, I guess, for throughout all this?
I think I've just been trying to maintain perspective, you know, and reminding myself, like, because I've gotten so used to being in this pandemic mode and I've experienced so much success in this pandemic mode. Sometimes I'll just have like days and I'll be like, yo, like, we're in a fucking pandemic. Like, I got to remember that. And that, like, yo, everything is cool now, but there's so much to look forward to in the next coming months in terms of performing and just seeing the world and like going, like, I want to go ATVing so bad. I want to go bowling so bad. Like, all these things I took for granted in the past are going to be available again. And I just can't wait for that reopening, roaring 20s, roaring 2020s.
Oh, we're staying hopeful for that. That's what I keep thinking of, like, the footage from, like, when World War II was over, like, in Times Square. Everyone was just, like, in there, like hugging and everything. That's what I keep thinking of when this is all over, hopefully. Yeah.
I'm telling you, we about to be on a sick one after this shit is over, man. It's about to be mayhem in the best way possible. Everybody got all this pent-up energy. They've been in the house. They ain't touch a woman for 6 months, you know. It's about to be madness in the streets.
If you could snap your fingers and have it all go away right now and have everything be back to, you know, normal, whatever your definition of normal is, what would be the first thing you would do? Place you would go, person you would hug, meal you'd have out?
To be honest, I wouldn't want to go back in time. I feel like I've learned so much through this quarantine and I've grown a lot as just a person, as an artist. I'm really thankful for all these experiences and memories. And I know that when it goes back, like, I'm going to be there at Saddle Ranch, you know, going crazy like how it used to be. Or I'll be in Miami or Europe or something and just look back and be like, yo, this shit made me who I am at this moment. Well, in the future, I'll be able to say that. Now we're in a time loop right now, but forget about it. I'm just looking forward to that.
Can't come soon enough. Oh, man. Golden, thank you so much for your time today. It's such a pleasure.
Hey, thanks for letting me, you know, keep it real, keep it funky, fresh on here.
Oh, anytime. Come on back.
I appreciate you guys. Peace.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful Hanukkah.
Hey, Mazel Tov. Yes.
Thank you, too.
Peace, y'all.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside the Studio, a production of iHeartRadio. For more episodes of Inside the Studio or other fantastic shows, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.